All right, we're starting at the top of Lamed Gimel, four lines down. Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Oved Kochavim, Holich Lirid, Ben Bechalicha, Ben Bechazara Mutar. So Oved Kochavim, who's on his way to the Yirid. Yirid is a shuk shel Oved Kochavim, some sort of market for the Avodah Zarah. Then whether he's on his way there or on his way back, then he's Mutar. Yisrael, on the other hand, Holich Lirid, goes down to the market, Balicha Mutar, on his way there is Mutar B'Chazara Asur. On the way back, he is Asur. Now the Tosus back, this is the Tosus back on Yud Bet. On Yud Bet discusses this Yirid, and speaking about the Yirid here, he suggests over there, Tosus on Yud Bet, on Yud Bet, that we're not talking about a Yirid on the day of the Avodah Zarah, on the day or the holiday of the Avodah Zarah, because then it wouldn't be impermissible. The Yirid was one independent of a holiday, and they used to rid them. He says, "Lakach perish Rabbi Meir, the Hocha Meir be Yirid Shasul and Yachbo Meches." That's a Yirid that has tax. Shalom be Yom Eidam Meirid. That's not on the day of their holiday. Lakach b'sheinam utarot in kanisur. So this shuk, this is what we had in the mission before, that the stores that had the decoration on them, they were going to pay some sort of fee or tax to the Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, those that weren't do not pay to the Avodah Zarah. But the designated, there's a designated payout, there's a designated tax that goes towards that Avodah Zarah. So therefore, by an Oved Avodah Zarah, either way it's mutar. Yisrael, when he's on his way, it's okay, but on the way back it's problematic. So when it says, Maishna Yisrael, Tibachazara Sur. What's the issue when the Jew is coming back that you cannot transact with him? We're going to say, Avodat Kochavim Zavin, we're going to assume that what he sold was used towards Avodah Zarah, and therefore what he has now is money from the Avodah Zarah. And that was money that was, quote-unquote, kadosh to the Avodah Zarah. They designated to purchase, whether it was a behema for the tikrovet, or some sort of food, wine, whatever they were buying from the Jew. When they bought it from him, they gave him money that came towards, that was designated towards purchasing for the Avodah Zarah. So we're afraid.
The assumption is that he was selling.
He sold something to them, right? Correct. And then now he has money. So now if you transact with him, that money you'll end up with is the money of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the problem for the Jew, why don't we say the same thing about the non-Jew? I mean, why do you have to assume that only the Jew sold something that was going to be used towards Avodah Zarah? Or whether he sold Salim, whatever it is that he sold that was designated towards Avodah Zarah. And the non-Jew, when we talk about the Oved Avodah Zarah, we don't worry about him selling and him carrying around the Avodah Zarah. Ella, Oved Kochavim Aminan Glima Zavin Chamr Zavin. When it comes to the Oved Kochavim, we assume that he sells other things besides Avodah Zarah, things that are designated for Avodah Zarah. He sells them wine, he sells them coats, garments, he sells them clothing. I mean, that is, whatever he is transacting there is not necessarily directed towards the Avodah Zarah. So Gemara says, well, wait a minute. Yisrael Nami Neima. Emer Glima Zavin Chamr Zavin. Could say the same thing about the Jew, that he was going to do, he's doing normal course business. He's not doing business directed towards the Avodah Zarah. Why do you have to say that he exchanged it towards the Avodah Zarah? Where it says, that doesn't make sense. Because, Iita, if it was true for the Jew does not need to go to the shuk to sell it. If he's selling cloaks, if he's selling clothing, selling chamro, he can sell it locally. The fact that he went out of his way to go to the shuk of Avodah Zarah means that he's trying to sell something that's designated towards the Avodah Zarah. The Oved Avodah Zarah, there's some, he has a connection to the shuk, right? So therefore he goes there to sell other things. It's his, it's his local group, it's his local friends from the Avodah Zarah. So he goes and he sells all of his items there, even though they're not directed towards the Avodah Zarah. But for the Jew to go to the shuk in particular, it seems, or it's more likely than not, that he's selling them something that is useful towards the Avodah Zarah, something designated for the Avodah Zarah. And therefore it will be impermissible for him. On the way again, everything is permissible because there's no hoda'ah, there's no thanks to the Avodah Zarah. But as we said before, as Tosfos explained, it's not on Yom Eidam, it's just the Shuk Avodah Zarah. So there's no hoda'ah, so there's no problem on the way. On the way back, there's also not a problem because by the Oved Avodah Zarah, we assume that he just transacted in a secular manner, and therefore there's whatever he's holding is not necessarily Demei Avodah Zarah. The Jew, we have more suspicions. The fact that he went there already indicates to us that he's transacting in Avodah Zarah. Otherwise, why go there and not sell locally in the Jewish Shuk? Now, Vabayim Mutarim. So this is goes back to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that when you go down to the Torpal, right, when you went down to the Torpal, then it's Asur to transact with him. On the way back, Vabayin, on those that are on the way back, you're allowed to transact with them, or you're allowed to interact with them. So why? What's the difference between them on the way and on the way back? So we said before, what's the problem with transacting with them on the way? On the way, the problem is that he's going to go Molde to the Avodah Zarah. On the way back, he's already finished. So then if you transact with him, we don't worry about it. So we, at the end of yesterday's daf, at the top here, we talked about Amar Avashi, that was only true of a Oved Avodah Zarah. But for the Jew, on his way down, it was mutar because maybe he'll do tshuva, not guaranteed that he'll go. On his way back, it was asur because it's avik bay. If he was addicted, he got hooked in, he's going to go back again. So now the Rishim ben Lakish qualifies it. Rishim ben Lakish lo shanu elo she'en kshurim zeh bezeh. Kshurim zeh bezeh asurim eim l'dat l'chzor. When they come back, it's only true. Now, to be honest with you, I would have thought the other way around. But the Gemara learns it this way. I would have thought when he comes back by himself, right, then we assume that he might go back because the fair is still going. Everything's still on. He came back by himself. If he comes back with a large group, it's over. So he's not going back. The Gemara learns the exact opposite. Where it says, Oshnalo she'ink shurim b'zeh b'zeh. Right? He says, that's only if he comes, ink shurim b'zeh b'zeh, if they come back alone. Avak shurim b'zeh b'zeh, if he comes back with a big group, then asurim. Then we say, asur, eim adat alavzor. Because then we assume they might even go back. I mean, he came back with a whole party, and that party is going to head back again. So if they come back in chaburot, you cannot transact with them because the assumption might be that they will return.
Maybe someone will convince them to be the Spurs. Maybe someone in the group will convince him
to go back.
If he's by himself, so he decided to leave, so he's going to leave.
He's done. Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not sure I understand the whole logic, but maybe that's a nice way to explain it. Individuals made his own decision, so therefore he can stay with his own decision. With the group, you get some of the group think that they might go back. That's a possibility. All right, now, the next Gemara, I'm going to read through it. I'm going to read it with Rashi and Rashi's Girsa in the Gemara. You should know that there are alternative Girsaot here, which Tosfos or the Rabbeinu Tam brings down. But it's subject to a three-way machloket. There's the Rashi's Pshat. Then there's the Rabbeinu Eliyahu, Ben Rabbeinu Yehuda. And then there's the Rabbeinu Tam. And the Ri has a little spin on this. So it's... I have a chart for it, so I'll send you the chart later, just to lay it out in an easier manner. But now we can learn through the Gemara, and I'll point out the issues, and then we'll go back and just see what the Tosfos says. So Tarabanan, nodot. So now here, Rashi points out that nodot are always referring to leather. Nodot are leather, they are flasks, canteens, leather ones. On the other hand, the term kankanim, or kankan, is used for kli cheres, is used for earthenware. And we'll see there's going to be a breita, or tosefta, for the ram, which brings us the exact same thing in kankanim. So over here we're talking about nodot, later on we're going to talk about kankanim. So nodot, ovdei kochavim. When it comes to these flasks, these leather flasks of the rochim, grudim, chadashim, mutarim. Now grudim usually means to scrape down, but over here, Rashi means says that it does not have pitch or tar on the inside. It lacks pitch or tar on the inside. Chadashim, that are brand new, they are mutarim. That you may...
Is it different or it's one?
It's one. Here, according to Rashi, it's one. Grudim chadashim is one qualification. They have to both have no pitch in them and be new, then they are mutar. You can use them. On the other hand, if they are shanim, umizufafim, which means or, if they are either old... or mezufavim, they have pitch in them, then they are surim. So what's the difference? Because it has to be or here. If you say in the beginning, grudim chadashim is and, then here it has to be or, which is that if either or will passel it. Either it's old, because then it's not chadash, or it's mezufaf, it has pitch in it, therefore it's not grudim. Okay, that's the way Rashi learns. So it has to be, in order to be permissible to use, it has to be new, and it has to be lacking pitch. There has to be no tar pitch on the inside. If it has either one, if it's old, or it has pitch on the inside, it's problematic. Now, why? The problem is we're worried about is the absorption of wine into the flask. Once there's too much wine absorbed into the flask, you can't use it because you can't clear the wine, and you have a problem. If you place your wine inside of it, it's going to absorb from the wine that's already there. So now, how do we get rid of that problem? We get rid of that problem, say, number one, the chadashim, they're new. Now Rashi says over here, new does not literally mean brand new. It means it's only been used a couple of times. It hasn't had time to absorb the wine. That's what the difference between Chadashim here and Yeshanim is, that the new ones haven't had sufficient time to absorb, whereas those that are Yeshanim already have soaked in the wine, they have a lot of, they've absorbed it. Now the problem with the pitch is, and we're going to see this again in the Gemara in a second, is that the pitch over here, they used to place the pitch in, and then they used to put wine in. Wine in, and we'll see in a second, wine either for the wine to absorb the bitterness of the pitch, or to mix with the pitch, to harden the pitch that was in there. So that was what they used to add wine to it. So that would add the additional dynamic. If there's pitch there, then you have a problem that the wine's absorbed inside of the pitch, and that'll cause you a problem later on. Now Rashi makes one statement here, which becomes much, very problematic later on, and is the some of the issues that Tosfos takes with him. But here he says, "Knisa d'yayin zman muat." If they are new, the wine that goes in there for a small period of time, lo bala or vinodot. The leather and the nodot don't, bala or, the leather doesn't absorb it. Vinodot dafka. It's only true by leather. Of a kli cheres bala la outer. But when it comes to kli cheres, it absorbs immediately. So this ability to have a little time or a delay before it becomes problematic is only true of leather. That's not true of kli cheres. Right now, the American is, ovi kachavim rivuvan vibdan. So this Ovik Chachamim was working these flasks, and in working the flasks, he does this Rivivav, which Rashi points out, Rivav, is to put the pitch in. He's, you know, hardening, or he's putting the inside, he's putting in the pitch. Tiach Zefet L'Tochan. Vibdan, and he's working the leather to make it into a flask. V'natan L'Tocho Yayin. And then he puts wine into it. V'Yisrael Omed Al Gavav Eino Choshesh. But there's a Jew watching him through this whole process, then you don't have to worry about it. If the one pouring the wine in there is the Ovid Chachavim, what does the Jew standing there do for you? It doesn't help you. We have no idea what he's thinking when he's pouring the wine in there. We have no idea whether he's being menasech, or is it datli yizdiyai nesech. Just because the Jew's watching doesn't do anything. So now we have two answers. We have one answer is Papa, and the other answer is Rav Zvid. Amar Papa, Achikamar. Amend the brisa. So not that the goy is putting it in, but rather the Jew is putting the wine in. And then not only that, the first Jew is putting the wine in, there's another Jew that's watching. He's the mashkiach over there. He doesn't have to worry. It says, the Jew's pouring the wine. What do I need a mashkiach for? But they don't need the Mishkiach. The Jew has Nemonut. He's not pouring every Yain Nesech. What's the problem here? Where it says, Dilma Gav Tirdei Minasech Vlavadate. We're worried, not the Jew himself, we're worried about the Goy. That we're worried about the Jew, well, since he's busy doing the craft of putting the flask in and pouring the wine in, he's absorbed in what he's doing. He won't notice that the Goy is pouring in some Yain Nesech, he's starting to pour the wine, or take some of the wine to pour his Yain Nesech. So Mashkiach watches the Ovid Kochavim, to make sure he doesn't get involved with the wine. And the Jew is the one making the flask, is making it. That's what Rav Papa says happened over here. That's why you're allowed to use it in that case, because then we don't have to worry. Rav Zid Amar, Lolam Kedamart Miikara. Now the case is like what's written in the Tosefta. Don't amend the Tosefta to read differently. Now, at the point that he's pouring the wine in, Nasa Kezorik Main Lutit. It's equivalent to putting water into cement, to mix the cement. So what's the chap by cement? What happens when you pour water into cement? Your govel, right? You mix the cement and the water together. And then eventually the cement hardens. When the cement hardens, what happens to the water? The cement dehydrates. That's how it hardens. Cement hardens after the water's there. The water evaporates, dehydrates, and then the cement is left hard. You can't get the water anymore. You can't squeeze the cement to get the water out. The water disappears, it dissipates once the cement hardens. So the claim of Rav Zvid over here is that the same is true when you put wine in with the pitch. As opposed to Rav Papa, who's suggesting that the wine was put into the pitch to get the wine to take some of the flavor of the pitch, over here, that's the way Rashi explained it, over here, the wine is being poured in to be the one, the liquid that is used for the pitch, to put the pitch in, and then the pitch hardens. When the pitch hardens, you have the same thing. What happened to the wine? It dehydrated, it disappeared. The wine is no longer there afterwards. So even if the guy pours it, and it was Nayin Nesech, it's gone. once the pitch hardens, the wine's not there. There's nothing left.
It won't come out when you pour in water.
No, because it's gone. I mean, it's the equivalent of cement and water. That's what he's claiming, that the cement and water, the water's no longer there anymore. So, Amar Papi, Shmami no Medrab Zvid. So, from Zvid, we can conclude, Hay Ovi Kachavim, the Shadda Chamar, the Bein Milche. This Ovi Kachavim that pours wine into Bein Milche, Rashi says Bein Milche, is a Kli Malay Melach, is a utensil full of salt. Then, the Israel Shari. That is permissible, because what happens when you pour the wine into the salt? The wine disappears. It doesn't stay. Salt absorbs all liquids that come into its contact with it, and it disappears. It's no longer there. So, Matki Flavashi, me domi. How can you ever compare these cases? Hotum kazal ibud. Over there, when it comes to cement and water, when it comes to the pitch and the wine, what happens to the liquid? The liquid evaporates, dissipates, it's gone, the gamre. It no longer exists there. There's nothing left. Hacha, by salt, that's not true. What happens to the liquid in the salt? The liquid is absorbed by the salt. It's not that it evaporated, not that it dissipated. It's there, but it's just absorbed into the salt. Hakalukazal, the ibud. Here it's not gone, it's there, it's inside the salt. It's in the salt. Now that's, Rashi, that's the way the case Rashi explains it, that the wine is being poured into a little dish of salt. Tosfos disagrees with that explanation. And he brings down the Rabbeinu Tam, who takes issues with many of the explanations here. Rabbeinu Tam has a lot of additional to say over here. And there, Chaim Perish Rabbeinu Tam, the Bei Milche is Makom Asiyat HaMelech. It's not a kli of Melech, but the quarries, or the place where they get the salt from. Ba'afalpi, da'avui kochavim, mashlich sham yayin, HaMelech mutar. Yibnesha or sorfo, v'kalasham. Because what happens when he throws the wine into the salt in the salt mine, then there it would evaporate. And that's why there's a consideration, at least on the part of Rav Papi, that the wine should be mutar over here. Well, Rabbeinu Tam doesn't understand in Rashi's case, when he pours the wine directly into the bowl with the salt, we know that the wine did disappear. We know that it's absorbed there. Why would Rav Papi ever think as a Havamina that it should be okay? So that's why Rabbeinu Tam says, no, the case here is a case of salt mine, and he throws the wine into the salt mine. There you would think, maybe it's evaporating, maybe it's disappearing, and it should be okay. But he says, no, Rav Ashi says that it was a problem. Now, the Rabbeinu Tam says something very interesting at the end, at the second to last line in this Tosfos. Remember Rabbeinu Tam, ki hayat kafta de Rav Ashi ein ala dechuya ba'alma. The question of Rav Ashi is not really a question. He's just being docheh Rav Papi's explanation. Kolmer with Rav Zvid lo tishma. You can't learn this out of Rav Zvid. But meikar din Allah is right. Ela mekom mekom Allah kura papi. So what Rav Ashi says, or what the Rabbeinu Tam says, that Rav Ashi is disagreeing with Rav Papi's position that you can learn that out from Rav Zvid, because by Rav Zvid you have evaporation, dissipation, and then you want to take that over to the salt mines where there's absorption. That you can't do. But Rabbeinu Tam says, but ena hachanami, it's true. That if wine or a liquid gets into the salt, and it's outside of the salt mine, it evaporates. It does evaporate. It's absorbed, but then it does evaporate, and it's not there anymore. Therefore, listen to this. It's unbelievable. Omitoch kach itira melach. Melach, afal pi shirigilim shemesim alav dam. Bishat reticha labno. The time that they heat up the salt, or they take it out of the mines, and they heat it up, they used to put blood in it to whiten it. As a whitening agent, they used to put blood into it. And he says, we're allowed to eat it. We can eat that salt that the blood was poured on because of this din of Rav Papi. That it's not, it's gone. The blood goes. When they heat it or the sun, out in the sun, it's gone. The blood disappears. It dissipates. It's not absorbed into the salt. And therefore, we can eat the salt that has blood poured on top of it. It's an amazing side of the Rabbeinu Tam that he thinks Rav Ashi here is only being a dechuya. And the loch is like Rav Papi. Right? It's like Rav Papi, but enu mitamo. Not because it's like Rav Zvid, but because mikra locha, he's right. A puppy. And therefore he concludes that we can eat the salt that has dam in it. It's very interesting, Rabbeinu Tam. Alright, now the Gemara continues with the story over here, which is Bar Adai Itayo. Bar Adai is this person who was a merchant. Anus Hanu Zike Mirab Yitzchak Bar Yosef. He basically lifted off of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef his canteens, his flasks. Right? He held them up. He grabbed them all away from him. He left them without his flasks. He stole them. Rama Bahu Khamra, he put wine into them. Vajrinu Niale, and then later on he returned them to him. He used them. He got use out of them, and then later on he brings them back. Atashel Be Medrasho. Now Rabbi Yisrael Bar Yosef wants to know, can he use these flasks What are we going to do? So Amalei Rabbi Yirmiya Kachore Rabbi Yami. This is Rabbi Yami learned. Halacha lemaaseh. This is the halacha lemaaseh, which is very interesting. Halacha lemaaseh. Mimalan ma'im shlosha yamim. You fill up the flasks with water for 3 days. Umi aran. And then you pour out the water, and then you can use them. They're kosher to use. If to pour out the water every 24 hours. So for a 3 day period, every 24 hours you pour the water in and then you pour the water out. Every 24 hours for 3 days. So sober mino animile didan. That's only our flasks. I mean here where he lifted the flasks, he took them away and he used them for a short duration, that's where we say you can kosher it this way because the exposure to the wine, the non-kosher wine, was very small. So that's why it works. We're talking about their flasks. You're buying enough of them where they've used the flask over a long duration. It'd be too much, just too much wine absorbed into the skin and you can't get it out. It makes no difference. No matter if it's a Jewish flask or a non-Jewish flask, irrespective, you can kasher it in this manner. Sober of Acha Brei Rova to say, Hani Milei no dot. This is only true of leather flasks. Aval kankanim lo, but when it comes to klicheres, comes to earthenware vessels, there we would not say it because the kankanim are balei tuva, right? Klicheres is a very absorbent material, and therefore you wouldn't be able to get it to expel it from the walls of klicheres. Samalei Ravashi, loshna no dot, veloshna kankanim. Makes no difference. You can use this kashering process both for the leather and for the klicheres. We'll get to later today, the statement by the Gemara that we're all familiar with is that klicheres you can never kasher. Because the Torah yida klicheres ene yotze midei dofno de olam. You can't get something out of a klicheres forever. So the Gemara will answer later on, that's at the end of today's daf, that ha b'chamim ha mitzonei. It makes a difference whether it's hot or cold. So over here, since the usage of the klicheres is in a cold state, it's the yayin nesach that's in there. The klicheres does absorb, but you have the ability to deabsorb it. You have the ability for it to expel the wine from it. If the klicheres is used in chamin, then it will never be polite entirely, and you can never be kasher the klicheres. So here, this usage, or this ability to kasher the klicheres over here is reliant on the fact that it was used in a cold state, and only for the wine, and that's why you can kasher it. Now, the next brayta, or next tosefta, is Tanu Rabbanan. This is a tosefta that looks exactly like the tosefta that we said by Nodot. It says kankanim. But over here we're not talking about Nodot, but rather kankanim, which are klicheres. Over here, shelov de kachavim. Chadashim grudim. Here they changed the order. It's chadashim grudim instead of grudim chadashim. But Rashi says it's almost the exact same thing, which is that if they are new and lack pitch, they are mutar. Ishanim umzufavim. If they are old and have pitch in them, then they are asurim. So now again, Rashi reads it the same way, which is Yashanim, if they're old, or they have pitch in them, they're asur. Because just like by the Nodot, when they are old, they absorbed a lot of wine, therefore they are impermissible. Now when we say they're impermissible over here, it means they can't be used without kashering them. Can't be used without doing the 3 day kashering process. If you do the 3 day kashering process, you can use them. Mezufavim, also with the pitch. The pitch that's in there absorbs the yayin. A question over here, whether you can kasher that, or you really need to take the pitch out. You probably have to take the pitch out in order to kasher it. Now on the other hand, chadashim and grudim, if it is both chadash, new, and garud, and it does no pitch inside of it, then it's mutar. Over here, Rashi has to make up for what he said before. If you remember Rashi in the beginning, that's what I said was the controversial line in Rashi, since Rashi said it's only true by orot. It's only true by leather that if he uses it a couple of times, it's not a problem. It's only b'jashanim, if it's already old. So over there, Rashi said chadashim means it was used a couple of times. And that was okay. Over here by kankanim, but over there Rashi said by klicheres, that's not true. By klicheres, it absorbs so much that right away it absorbs. So over here, Rashi has to explain the chadashim over here to mean new, completely new, never used. So Rashi actually has to explain the word chadashim differently in these two places. By the leather nodot, he calls chadashim anything that wasn't used a lot. It was only used a couple of times. And over here by klicheres, he says that chadashim mean anything that it has to be something that is brand new, never used. As you can already see, that's going to be one of the things that Tosfos is going to jump on, is that Rashi's explanation of chadashim are different in the two Tosefot, which are identical. We have two Tosefot that say the exact same thing, exact same structure, and Rashi's explaining them differently. The other thing that will bother Tosfot, which is a Gemara coming up later on, which is that Kli Cheres that is put into the Kiyum, Kli Cheres that is used for storage, there we have a problem. Even if you use it only temporarily, only use it one time, we require you to kasher the Kli Cheres in order to use it again, even if you didn't put it into the Kiyum, because it's a vessel that is used for Kiyum. On the other hand, if the Kli Cheres is not used for Kiyum, it's not used for permanent storage. It's used on a temporary basis. It's like the clay abayit over there. If it's only used with the cold, there the Gemara seems to indicate, or implications of the Gemara, that it would be mutar, and you wouldn't have to kasher it with the three-time process of kashering. You would be able to use it afterwards. So from there, it sounds like chadashim could mean over here, mean new, doesn't have to be literally new, but even if it was used a couple of times. So that presents to us some major issues with Rashi. One is the inconsistency in the word chadash between the two Tosefot. The other one is this Gemara coming up later on, which says that Kli Cheres, even if it's used a couple of times, is okay. It's only when it's machniso the kiyum. If you're going to use it for storage, and then if you use it even once, we say don't, you can't. Because since it's a vessel of storage, then we even if you use it for one time, we say it's already problematic. Because that's people's intent usually is to use it for storage, and we don't get mixed up. But the implications are if it's not used for storage, then it's okay. Right? It's okay even if it's used a couple of times. The last two, which makes this Tosfos so interesting, is the last two questions of Tosfos, and it persists through the Tosfos here. He says that our minhag is different. He says that what we do today is not like what Rashi says. So Rashi can't be right. The way Rashi is explaining the Gemara, we're going to have a problem. So for instance, when it comes to clay kesef and clay yates, when it comes to silver utensils, or wooden utensils that we have zephet inside of them, that have pitch inside of them, and we use them, what's going to be the din? According to Rashi, there's nothing to talk about. According to Rashi, if you have zephet on the inside, it's no good. Period. It's no good, because it absorbs the wine, and you're stuck. Once the pitch has absorbed the wine, you can't use these vessels. Yet, Tosfos says, and we go ahead and we use them with no problem. So how could it be? According to Rashi, it would be Asur. So Tosfos asks from the Minhag Am on Rashi. His proof is not from the Gemara. His proof is that, Rashi, how could you say this? The Minhag Am is different. It's an amazing view of Tosfos. It's true of Tosfos in other places, but here it's to an extreme. That Tosfos is unwilling to accept Rashi's pshat because it goes naked to the Minhag Am. That's not what we do. That's not our practice. If that's not our practice, that can't be the explanation of the Gemara over here. It can't be the explanation of the Tosefta. And he includes also the other items that they use, which is interesting. He says, gam, yushkash, and kanz. I don't know what these cans, it sounds like cans, but it's not. I looked in the mitar game in the back that says that these words mean kankanim and kadim, which would be pitchers and barrels. But he says that we have shalates, that we use of wood. Avshalanu, kevin shem's vutin. They have pitch on the inside. Yes, true. Ibn otan behem yayin, shachat. As soon as you put wine in them, it should be a problem. Or afilu nagah behem yayin tofeach. If there's wine that's on the liquid wine there and the goy touches it, it should make the whole thing atzur. According to Rashi. And that's not what we do. We don't do that. That's not our minhag. Our minhag is to use them.
The other
The pitch?
Yeah.
Pitch is there. It's to give flavor to the wine and ensure it doesn't leak. It doesn't leach the barrel. I assume that's what it's used for. I mean, that's just me assuming. I don't know so well, but I'm assuming based on what Rashi said and based on this, it sounds like it was used as a sealant, plus it gave some flavor to the wine. That was the two reasons it was there. And then the clay kesef and the shalates that are not put into the kiyum and they have no zephet. If they're used a lot, then you wouldn't be able to use them. That means that if you had a silver utensil or a cleats of the goy, who'd use it for a long time, there's no pitch in it, you wouldn't be able to use it unless you kashered it, which he says we don't do. So all these problems give Tosfos pause and says that we can't explain these Tosefdot like Rashi. There must be an alternative explanation over here. So he gives, there are two alternatives that are given. First is the alternative presented by Rabbi Eliyahu ben Rabbi Yehuda, and the second one presented by the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam takes issue with the Rabbeinu Yehuda because he has a problem. He says it's not consistent with the Baal Halachot Gedolot. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam comes up with the third explanation. So the explanation of Rabbi Eliyahu ben Rabbi Yehuda says, the Gersot HaSfarim, that he says, that Vadai Nodot Fikankanim Shnehem Machnisim Lekiyum. The underlying Rashi's underlying assumption here is that a node, something that was made out of leather, would never be put into storage. Since it's never put into storage, therefore, if it's used only a couple of times, it would be fine. Shenolan tamehem yayin klal. The wine was never put on them. The machar shem grudim. Shlo ziftam neolam. Irama bahu ubi kachavim chamra midi idea. We would know about it. Als butim oshenis tadu nashar zibutam afchadashim asurim. Keshem imshet zivfa oachas viyatan tamehem ubi kachavim yayin bahu idea. So the whole problem here is we don't know. We want to know if this utensil was used with wine or not. So if you bring to us a new one that was never used and had no pitch in it, then you'll know if there was wine put in it or not wine put in it. You can look, you can smell it, you'll know if it had wine. So then we'll know what to do with it. If it had wine, you'll have to do the kashering process. If it doesn't have wine, there's nothing to talk about. The problem arises when there was pitch inside of it. If there is currently pitch inside of it, or there was pitch that was scraped off, then we have a problem, because we have no idea if there's wine in there. Because the pitch causes it to be, or makes it impossible to determine if there was really wine in there. And also, if he scraped off the pitch, then we have no clue if there was wine in there, because he removed the pitch, and we can't tell if it was there. So the whole question here is, we're trying to determine, is was this used for wine or not used for wine? Now, again, these are things that are machnis the kiyum. These are things that are put into storage. And since they are put into storage, we said that the Gemara later on says when you put into storage, you're asur right away. No matter what you put in, as soon as you put it in, it's problematic and you have to kasher it. So what the Rabbeinu Rabbi Yehuda over here is marviach, he says, is number one, he makes it consistent between nodot, the leather, and the kankanim, the kli cheres. So the chadash here means the same thing in both cases. Both of them mean chadash, literally new, brand new, never used. And the problems are, but we don't want wine in them. So if they're either yeshanim, they're already old, so you can clearly tell there was wine in them, then they're problematic. Or if they're zivutin, if they had pitch in them, then they're problematic, because we can't tell if they had wine in them or they didn't have wine in them. The only way that we can be certain there was no wine in them is if they're brand new and they never had zefet in them. So that is the way he learns over here. He learns that the nodot and the kankanim. Now, there are two problems that are left. One is that the word grudim usually means to scrape off the pitch, not to have no pitch there at all. Both Rashi and the Rabbeinu Yehuda explained it that there was never pitch there, that the pitch was never put on. But grudim, regrode, is to scrape off. So that they don't really explain well. And the number two is that the Rabbeinu Tam brings the Bala Lachot Gedolot that disagrees. Now, what he is, Marviach Rabbeinu Yehuda, is that now he can explain the cases that we have. For instance, the clay kesef and the clay eitz. The kli eitz and kli kesef that we get from the non-Jews that we use, right? They're not problematic because they have no zefet in them, right? They don't have any pitch inside of them. And it brings by the kans and the yuntash that even though they have zefet on them, since they're not put into storage, we don't worry about the wine since they're not using the oats there, so we don't worry about the wine. And the kli kesef and the kli eitz will also be not problematic because we're able to, you know, whether there was wine poured into them or not, because they don't have zefet on the inside. Right, so then the Rabbeinu Tam gives his final answer. Now, the Rabbeinu Tam is much more complex, because he changes the girsa to conform with the Tosefta. That is, in the last, it's on the Lamed Bet Amud Bet, towards the bottom, it's the third to last line in the Tosas. Kach nir Rabbeinu Tam, the Geras v'shmaitin k'darsinu b'Tosefta, the mechaleket ben nodot kankanim, that there actually is a different. Our Gemara is identical between kankanim and nodot. He says, this is the way to explain it. That, perish, nodot, ovde chachavim, grudim, mutarim. That either, if you have a node, a leather flask that was garud, it had pitch in it, and you scraped out the pitch, mutar. Chadashim zbutim, or if they are brand new with pitch in them, right, then they are chadashim zbutim asurim. On the other hand, if they are new with zefet in them, they are asur. So perish grudim, shein ben zefet, mutarim. Va'afilo yishanim, even if they're old. Since they're not placed into storage, canteens, and these flasks are used for temporary movement of wine. So mishach shechan b'mayim, you just rinse them out with water, you rub them with water, mutarim. Afilu b'aya b'hem zefet, even if they had pitch inside of them, ela shekileif dayan b'shichshuch, as long as you peel out the zefet. So Rabbeinu Tam says, by nodot, the only thing that matters over here is whether the pitch is in there or not in there. If there's pitch in there, it's problematic. Brand new or not brand new. If it's brand new, we can't tell if there was wine put in there. If they're not new, then there's definitely wine in there absorbed in the pitch, and it's a problem for you. if they're new or old, and the pitch was scraped out, or you scrape out the pitch, no problem. You scraped out what the problem was. You scraped out the absorbent material. And number two is they are used only, they're not machnis the kiyum, so therefore if there was only wine in there for a temporary period, we don't worry about it. It's only the wine that was in the pitch that we worry that's absorbed and is still there that we worry about. So once you scrape it out, it's perfectly okay. And therefore, over here, chadashim zvutim asurim, when we say chadashim zvutim or asurim, perish, chadashim shedome shloya behem yayin mildam. That they don't look like they don't have wine in there. Afilu ach yasurim, chadashim zvutim, because they have pitch in them, dilma ramabav the chavim chamra, velo yodo, we don't know. But zevet mavriya. Va'afo pi shein nechnasin lekiyum, even though they're not used for storage, shechim iroi, pnei hazefet mavliya, because the zefet pitch is absorbent and it's problematic. Now in the second brayta, the Rabbeinu Tam says, kankanim sholdei chavim chadashim mutarim, new ones are mutar, yishanim muzufatim asurim. So perish, chadashim mutarim, brand new, kli cheres are mutar. Perish, devadu b'dichim notam v'am yayim yolam, because he didn't put any wine in there. Mechar she'inam zvutim, and if they're not have pitch in them, then we don't worry about it. Ilu natam v'am yayim minkar, if they put wine, we'd know about it, because they're not pit, there's no pitch. Yishanim zvutim, nami asurim. Older ones that have zefet are asur, v'afilu nirim chadashim, and if they look brand new. Kishem natan v'dichim yayim v'enu nikar. Maybe he put it in there, we don't know it. Yeshanim, afilu no tambo pam achat asurim. Older ones, even if you put wine in once, are problematic. Nation machnisel the kiyum. Because these type of materials are used even for storage. And that's what we said later on. The Gemara says if it's used for storage, even if you put it momentarily or it's for a short period of time, it's problematic. So now he says, Lafishi tat rabbeinu ta'am yesh lesor kanz vi shtas shalanu asvufot v'mago v'chachamim. That our pitch, our barrels, these barrels or cans that have this pitch on the inside, if it a goy touches it, it should be problematic for us. It's like gilo tam, and then you'll need to do hagalah l'sabem irui. Because then there'll be like these canteens that have pitch in them. And then listen to this Tosos' question on the Rabbeinu Tam. We buy them every day from the Ovdei Chachamim. It's a challenge to Rabbeinu Tam, is that's what we are buying them all the time. We don't do Iroi, we don't do Agala, we don't do anything. Viri haya mefaresh le'sheva minhag. So the Ri came to explain what's our minhag. The dafka b'yemayim in the time of the Gemara. She regim latil b'hem yayin b'shat zvita yesh lesor. Where they poured in wine at the time of the making or pouring of the pitch. They used to add wine to that. So therefore, that's the problem is. But in our time, they don't do that. Nobody puts pitch in with wine. Right? The pitch is there. It's done without wine. It's poured in independent of the wine. So therefore, they were choshesh in the time of the Gemara. Shema chayken itol shayim v'lo yedei. They poured in wine. He wouldn't know about it. Aval, atash, in regim latil b'hem yayim b'shat zvita. Since they don't pour it in at the time of the pitch, not to b'hem yayim achar zvita yanikar. We would know. Even with pitch in there, we would know if there was wine added in. But once the non-Jew touches it, after we own it, then it would be a problem. Because then we know there's wine in it, it's Yain Nesach, it's being absorbed, then it would be problematic. Then, Rabbeinu Tam Atzmo Chazarbo, Pesof. Rabbeinu Tam backed out of his own position. This is amazing. He reversed his position. And he was willing to be matir, even if a goy touched the yain that's made into stam yinam or touched the yain there, and it was absorbed in ours, he would say, mutter, just rinse it out and it's fine. And his explanation was, we have two good things here. Number one, the hanshe and eights, ours are made out of wood. It doesn't absorb the wine. Even with pitch, it doesn't absorb it so much. Below domino no dochin shall or virach, like leather that is soft and absorbent. And then adding pitch makes it even more absorbent. Vod, kinam chudok kokach biyayin. They're not so involved with our wines over here. Meaning that, I mean the wines aren't so, pernicious that they get absorbed into the side. When you're talking about the clay agat, when you're talking about things that bar, they press, then the wine is working its way, it's fermenting, it's got a pernicious state to it that it'll eat in or it'll be absorbed into the walls. Our wines, now we're talking about later on, they're not so pernicious, they don't enter into the walls, and therefore, it's not so bad. So that's the Rabbeinu Tam, in the end, who was, you know, going, was mati or something that was seemingly, even the Ri, who was trying to melame and head there, after this, the Rabbeinu Tam comes in and changed his whole mind, and he says, everything's mutar. It's an amazing thing. But then the Rabbeinu Baruch says, Ki afo b'kein lo yao sim masila tchila tiram v'shukshuch. In the end, even though Rabbi Yonatan says that we wouldn't do it the chatchila, only b'diavad if we have a problem and he already put Jew already put the wine in there, we'll be somech on it. No, it's just to rinse it out. Rinse it out. Probably as soon as rinse it out with probably a sponge. Shukshuk means to shake the water around or rub it a little bit. Not a rinse, but a little more than a rinse, I would say, right? Not just simply pouring the water in, but scrubbing, right? That's probably a good word for it. So that was just the three opinions that we saw in the Tosfot. Depend on these two different Tosfot here, and it will have major different conclusions for them based on the way you learn about what is mutter and what's not mutter. Again, Tosfos is challenged many times by what they were practicing at the time, and he keeps bringing up the minagam. If this is the minagam, how could it be that this is the explanation of the Gemara? And that's driving him to find more and more solutions or different solutions to the problem. And again, from a historical standpoint, it's very interesting, and from a methodological standpoint, it's very interesting how Tosfos approaches this Gemara. Right now we continue in the Gemara. So now, with these kankanim, it says, Ovei kochavim, noten letochan yayin. If a non-Jew used them for yayin, Yisrael notochan, a Jew can put in mayim, use them for water afterwards. Ovei kochavim, noten letochan yayin. Or if the non-Jew used them for wine, Yisrael noten letochan siru morios, venu choshesh. He can put in brine, or brine with fish ash, and he doesn't have to worry about it. So where it says, Ibailu, the question is, lichat chilo, o didi evit. Is it that he can put this brine and fish ash in there? Is that the chatchila or bidyevit? I mean, if that's a way to clear out the klicheres or use the klicheres, we say it's permissible to do that? Or if you did it, it's okay. Now some of this will depend. Our girsa reads, the way our girsa reads, Tosfos actually has an alternative girsa in the Gemara here, but our girsa reads, Ovi kachavim noten notochan yayin, Yisrael noten notochan sir morios. The Braith is written, or the Tosefta is written in a chatchila stance, that you can put it in. So from, Tosefta says, if that's the girsa, it doesn't seem to me that there's much question in the Gemara. So Tosefta has an alternative girsa, just to indicate that it was not, that's why the Gemara is raising a question, rather than it being simply obvious that it's a chatchila. So, starting with the Chodesh Aro, that the question here, if we do keep the Lashon of the Tosefta like the way we have it, which seems clear that you can put it in the chatchila, the question is about the seer and the morio. What's the status of that Sir Murius? If it gets ruined by doing this kashering process, then it would be, that's the question. Are you allowed to do such a thing about Tashkis? Because let's clear the Evet. Shatashma. Tani Rav Zvid Baroshi. Alokeh kankanim en obdi kachovim. Chadashim noten letochan yayin. Shanim noten letochan et Sir Murius lechatchilo. Go here, straight out. And so if you have new ones from the Ovechim, you can put in wine right away. Shanim, older ones, you put in Sir Murius lechatchilo. You're allowed to do it, no problem. So, by many Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah mi Rabbi Yami, Hegziran the Kivshana Eish, Vinit Labnu Mahu. They return the Kli Cheres to the firing kiln, and they fire them up to the point that they're white. What's the din? Samalei, Zir Sarif, or Lo Kosh Kane? What is the reason that the brine works over here? The brine works over here because it's so powerful or potent that it burns away the wine that is absorbed into the walls of the barrels. So now, if brine can accomplish that, then certainly fire can accomplish that. It's no question that the fire can do this. So Idmar Nami, a similar statement, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Milo, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kankanim, Shalom Dechavim, Shagziram LeKibshan, if you return them to the firing kiln, the Kibshan Aish, Kevin Shenishra Zivatan, once the pitch that is on them melts off, right, falls off, right, Mutarin, because you've heated them up to the point, you fire them to the point where that the pitch comes out. If they fire them that hot, it's clear that anything absorbed in there has been removed, and then you can use them. Amar Rav Ashi, lo tema adenatran, doesn't have to be that until they totally dissipate, till the pitch is totally gone from here. Even if the pitch softens, right, becomes more of a molten state of pitch, that's enough. It doesn't have to be actually that the pitch comes out, it falls out. It just has to be that it loosens the pitch from the heat, from the temperature of the heat. And now the next piece of the Gemara is a question based on what we had before, but also brings up a major issue that is a major machlokas here about kashering, in terms of kashering kli cheres ayidei hagala. And that is a kintza. Kintza over here are wood chips, according to Rashi. And Rashi says that what you did with these wood chips is that you light the wood chips on fire, And then you place them inside the barrel. So just think about this kli cheres that they had. They used these barrels for the wine. They had kli cheres, and they'd pitch on the inside as a sealant or a flavor, you know, additive. So they were pitched on the inside. Then, the first case we talked about here in Malak, if you take them back to the Kivshan Eish, you fire them up, it's from the outside. You are firing up the kli cheres from the outside to the point that the pitch on the inside melts or is softened. So therefore, we know the fire has reached straight through the kli cheres, and anything that was absorbed is gone. Over here, what you're doing is the opposite way around. You're placing the fire inside the kli cheres. You're taking the wood chips, lighting them, and depositing them into the kli cheres. That's what Rashi says. Until it melts. So now we have they one says mutar, one says asur. Over here, the loch is like the one that is oser. It's interesting over here because the Tosfos brings down Torah kula, Amar Ravina the kula, Ravacha the chumra. Ravina always goes the kula, and Rav Chama is always the chumra. Vehilchotak Ravina the kula, and the loch is always like Ravina the kula. Therefore, the Gemara comes out of the way here to say the loch is like the oser, the loch is like Rav Chama, Ravacha over here who goes the chumra. That we go the chumra over here. So now Rashi says, why is the locha le'asor? Even though before we said if you take him back to the Kibshan Eish, if you look at the Rashi, so second to last wide line, at the top there he says, below domi lachziram be'kibshan, da'atam kem she'esikam bi'bachutz, heated up from the outside, ishun ezivatam kvar nil tula bein acheres. The entire kli cheres was heated. Ava'ocha kem she'echnisa or miyad zifto az nosher. Right away, when you place on the inside, the pitch melts or becomes molten, and it never reaches the point where you heated the outside walls. So we hear from this. Tahani chaviyotu kankanim, the fish, shemachnisan lekiyum, since you put them in for storage, lo sagi v'hechsher mibifnim, you can't be machshir them by putting fire inside. Ben lesorfam, ben letein letochan mayin chamim. Whether you've used, you know, you hit these wood chips and put them in, or you put hot water in them. Midaser bekinsa, because we say this kinsa doesn't work. Dainu ba'or atzmo, with fire on the inside. Koshke ma'ashachum b'chuchamim, and of course, water, hot water is not going to be any better than the fire itself. Aval, im efshar lo sorfan min b'chut shari. You can heat them up, you can fire them from the outside, mutar. Fichach tzarech la'aran me'ed le'et, or, so either you fire them from the outside, or you have to do the water pouring every 24 hours, or shato ma'chnei masar chodesh, or leave them for 12 months unused. So there's three different ways you can kasher this cheres on the inside. Rashi says either you fire it up from the outside to the point that the pitch on the inside melts, or is, becomes molten, liquefies. The other possibility is that you do the iruid that we talked about in the previous almod, which is you kasher 3 days, pouring it in and out every 24 hours, or you leave it for 12 months unused. You leave it unused for 12 months, then it's fine. Those are the three ways to kasher this cheres, again, that was used with cold. I mean, I'm giving you the conclusion of the Gemara that was used with cold. So that's right. Based on what Rashi says here, Rashi is basically saying that you cannot use Haggalah to kasher a kli cheres. That's basically what Rashi says. Haggalah won't work. Rashi takes issue with this. He says, "Mashma the perusho ki mayam is sikom mibifnin. Emshay yasevin b'chutz haya nosher." So according to Rashi, the problem is that you will never heat it up sufficiently on the inside because you only want the zefet to melt, and you'll do it on the inside that won't reach the outside. What happens if there's pitch on the outside? And you heat it up so hot on the inside to the point where the zephyr on the outside melts. According to Rashi, that should be fine. Because you have, the heat has penetrated through the whole walls. And the Rabbi Yochanan says that doesn't work. Why? Because we have a principle by kli cheres that people are afraid to heat kli cheres up because they're going to burst, they're going to break. So people will not heat the kli cheres up to that point where it's so hot that it will penetrate through because they're afraid it's going to burst or break and they won't do it. So because of that fear, we don't allow you to kasher it in that way because we never think you're going to get it to the heating level that you need to because you'll be chas, you're going to be afraid of it breaking. Right, with that approach, we don't allow you to use it because we're afraid of the way people approach it. So now, then, even though we paskin that the one that says asar mikol makom lichvot achavit ala ish, if you take the barrel and turn it over on a fire, and the ish kol kach gadol v'chazak mi bifnim sheyado soledet mi bachutz, if you touch the barrel on the outside and it's yad soledet on the outside, you can't touch it. Your hand recoils. V'chashuv kamo hagala inyan hagala hitir rabbeinu tam lagil chavit l'taher miyay nesek, and the rabbeinu tam was matir hagala over here to do this for yay nesek. In patach echad mishuleah, v'zorek v'otchim letocha. If you open up one end of the barrel and you put hot water, you throw hot water through it, umapech hamayim al shuleah elech v'elech, and you just swish the hot water around, that's enough to kasher it. That's not the way halagola. Halagola works is you have to have the entire utensil deposited into the hot water in order for it to work. Over here, Rabbeinu Tam is allowing you to pour hot water in there and then just swirl it around, and the barrel's kosher. So it's problematic from two standpoints. One is it's not even clear that if you pour hot water that it works for halagola, because that's irui kli rishon. You need a kli ala ish with hot water and the entire vessel that you're trying to catch is submerged in there. Over here you have none of those. You're pouring from a kli rishon that's off the wire already to have iri kli rishon, and you're not even it's not being submerged totally in water, and you're just shaking it around. So the Gemara talks about kasher. Dafilu irui mikli rishon lekaacha. Come, come, ikal meimer b'yai nesek the teshmisha b'sonein. Sorry, it's only used with the cold. No problem. So the Rabbeinu Tam wants to be makil and hagalah, the normal hagalah, because it's all about sonein, and therefore he said just, you know, rinse it out with hot water, really hot water, you rinse it out, you'll be fine. So now the Ri says over here, the Ri Omer, minamufka lagil kol neser levad. Says better off to do each board independently. You have to take each board and do hagalah on it. So he doesn't require you to do dip it in or do hagalah, but he requires you to take the kli off the fire and pour it on each board independently. That you capture each one gets, you know, a hagalah. The yesh. Now listen to the hagalah they did like this, which is an interesting thing. He says, So what do you do? What's the problem with kli rishon and kli sheni, or kli sheni rishon off the esh? Is that it no longer has the heat of the esh itself that's there. So what do they used to do? They used to take a big vat, they'd heat boil water inside it. So now if you take that water and you pour it onto something else, you have a problem that the walls are cooling when you take it off the esh. So what do they used to do? They put a kli inside the water as well. And they boil the kli and the water together. So now the walls of the kli are scorching hot, the one that's inside the hagalah. So now when you take that out with the water in it, and then you go to pour it on something else, that'll still be very hot. Because the walls also were heated to the point of yad soledes bo. So that's the new chap of how to do hagalah without actually having to put it inside. So he says here, Yes, misimin kara betocha machbar al esh, achri tichot olav betocha kara, moto kara magilin, ubezem supak ri, imzem mo'il kakli rishon imlav. Betola dover lahachmir. He says, I don't know if that works like a kli rishon or not, and it was machmir. So instead of taking the whole vat off the fire and pouring it, they put the kli inside, heated it up to the point where the walls were as hot as the kli on the fire, and then they took it out and they did an irui kli rishon, which the ri was matir and the rabbeinu tam were matir. But it's a chap to get a kli rishon without having to take the real kli off the fire. So the man said, oh, maybe he's not here, he was already starting to be shaky on it. Can you use these for beer? Can you use these for beer? Now when we're asking, can you use them for beer, or can you use them without doing any cleaning process? So before we're talking about wine, we're talking about some sort of kashering process allowed to use it for wine. Over here we're asking, can we use it for the beer without any alteration? Over here, can you use it without all these processes of kashering that we've mentioned, whether it's to heat it up, whether it's to soak it for the 3 days or leave it for the 12 months, are you allowed to use it for the beer immediately? Rav Nachman, Rav Yehuda, Asrei, Rav Ashori. So they were also Rav Ashori, Rav Zabatra, so we're going to pass on like Rav, which is that it's mutar. Rav Yehuda, Sharele, the Rav Chia, Brei, the Rav Yitzchak, the Mirma, Beis Shechra, he went to put in beer. Azal Rama, Beis Chamra. And instead of putting in beer, he ended up putting in wine. Which would be the whole reason to ask for beer, would be because maybe people will think you can put in beer, and then you can put in wine also. So he did that, exactly what he did. They told him he could put in beer, and he ends up putting in wine. It's the exact thing that we would be choshish for. Even so, we didn't want choshish for that mistake. The milsa, amara kri ba'almahu. It was an accident. It was a one-time thing. It's not that people, if you tell them they can put beer in there, are end up going to putting wine in there. So it was a one-time, and we're not going to pass, we're not going to make a gzeira out of this one-time thing. Yabitzak bar bisna, havale hanu manei dibikusna. He had these chelim that were made out of bekutzna, which is two possibilities. The Rabbeinu Chanan over here says it's some sort of wood, like a boxwood. Or Rashi claims over here that it's from a p'kiei bakar. It's dung and clay that were mixed together. So malinu mayo, he fills them up with water, and hinchu b'shimsha, and they put them out in the sun, and fuck, when they burst. So amalei Rabbi Abba, asartinu alach, yisro olam, says, wait a minute, I didn't say to you that you can't use these kalim at all, that you had to do it in a manner that's going to cause them to be ruined forever. I mean, you just wasted these kalim. That's not what the process of kashering. So, imodam rabbanim imalinu mayo. The rabbanim said you have to fill it with water for 3 days, empty it out each day. Anuchi b'shim shami umar. Who said that you have to go put it out in the sun, that they get heated up and they burst? That's your fault, in a sense. You made a mistake here, and now you wasted these kalim. The rabbanim only said that you have to have filled with water. They don't say that you have to heat it up. That you left them in the sun now ruined these kalim. Amar Rabbi Yusna, Amar Rabbi Yami, clay neter in lo tara olamit. Gemara asks, my clay neter, what are these clay neter? And Rabbi Yossi Bar-Avin, clay machporet shel tzrif. These are kalim that come out of this mined alum crystal, A-L-U-M, crystal. Alum crystal is basically it has a relationship to aluminum. It's a hydrated potassium aluminum sulfate that is used, that actually crystallizes very easily and is used a lot. It's also used to make up styptic pencils that people use as an astringent for people who shave with razors and they cut their faces. They use it, this alum crystal, as an astringent to close those cuts, or as an aftershave to close up the pores of the face. So that's what we're talking about over here. So there, since they are so absorbent, we don't allow you to go ahead and kasher them because they have so much absorbency that we can never fully get out what has been absorbed into them. Now, Tosus over here points out that we also know that the term neter is used in other places, for instance, as a laundry detergent. I mean, it's used as a natron or a carbonate of soda that is used for cleaning. So obviously the Gemara over here talking about neter are different things. Neter is used. Tosus actually here says that there are three different types of neter. There's neter of a clay that you can never kasher. There's klalim that have neter that you can kasher. And then there's this neter of that's used for washing or laundering that is also called neter. So you have these three different types of neter that each one has a different din. But the neter that we're talking about over here, you cannot kasher. The Beit Parzak Rufuda. So the Beit Parzak is the name of the individual. Rufuda was that he's a Mishneh Lamelech. He was a person of power. And that's Hane Kobe de Pumpedita. He went ahead and he took against the will of the people of Pumpedita. He took away their utensils. Rama Buchama, and he stored wine in them. Adrina Noyalayo. Then he brought them back to them after he had done that. Atu Shelu the Rabbi Yehuda. They went and asked Rabbi Yehuda, what's it in? Amar. Davar Shei Machnesil the Kiyum. This is something, this is a utensil that is not used for storage. Right? Therefore, Meshach Shechan Mamayim Vein Mutarin. Just rinse them out, and or you scrub them out with water, and you're fine. You don't have to do anything. So here's that din that we talked about before, that when you not Machnes the Kiyum, when you don't put them in for permanent storage, something that's not used for storage, it's enough just to rinse them out, and it'll be sufficient. So that's over here. These kubis, these cups or these utensils that were taken were not storage utensils. They were utensils of usage. And therefore, when he took them and put wine into them, all they required was a good rinse, a good scrub out. They didn't require the kashering process that we spoke of above. Mervina, honey chatzive shchime. These barrels or pitchers that are dark red or black clay that is used on my kevin de lo bali tuva. Since they are not very absorbent, you can just rinse them out, scrub them out with water, and then they are mutarim, because this is seems to be a very dense or hard clay that is not absorbent, and therefore it's enough to be rinsing or scrubbing them out. Amra papi, hani patvato. Now, patvato over here is a wide earthenware vessel. Probably comes from the word peti, which is wide in Aramaic. It came into a little bali tuva, since they don't absorb a lot, mishach shechan b'mayim mutarim. Again, you can rinse them out, scrub them out, and there is no problem. Kase. Now we're dealing with cups over here. Rashi says the cups we're talking about are kosot shel cheres. Talking about earthenware cups. They're drinking cups, drinking earthenware vessels, but not used for storage. Rav Asi Asar, Rav Ashi Shari. Rashi says problematic, Rashi says mutar. Ishati behu obde chamim parmishon. If the Obikovim drank from it one time, everybody agrees that it's a sur. Then he did it the second time. Then he did it the first and second time, then it's a sur. On the third time, that's when they argue. So what's being discussed over here is that an earthenware vessel in its early stages, in its early life, is very absorbent. So if the Obey Kachavim used it for wine in its first or second usage, then we worry about the fact that it absorbed and you will not be able to get it out of the walls. On the other hand, if it was already used for other liquids or for other materials beforehand, and it absorbed those materials the first and second time, now when you go to drink wine or you place wine in it the third time, then all you need to do is scrub it out, because the walls are already full or fully saturated, so the wine will not be absorbed into the walls, and therefore it's not a problem with the wine, or it's easy to get the wine out. And number two is, they're not machnisel kiyum. We don't put, they're not used as storage utensils. So since they're not used as storage utensils, and the wall's already saturated, we say you can wash them out and it's enough. That's the way Rashi explains the case over here. The Rabbeinu Tam, first of all, they bring down a minhag. He says, Lufize, based on Rashi, no, gulo lo nitein mayim b'kli cheres chadash. People, you take new earthenware vessels and they used to soak them in water. They used to leave it there soaking for a long time before they used it for wine. Because if a obi chachamim will touch the wine and make it in stam yenam, you only have to rinse out the utensil, but you won't have to actually do the kashering process, because the walls are already saturated with the water that you left in before. And then Rabbeinu Tam says, "I'm a kasha Rabbeinu Tam on this minog that it doesn't make sense." And the kach perish Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam gives a totally different explanation for this gemara. The mariocha b'kasei ben chadashim ben yeshanim, talking about cups here, new or old. B'shatavem od kachavim yaim kama piyamim. And we know that the obichachamim already drank from them many times with wine. V'achi perisho. This is the question. Hilchata pam yisho mishini klomar shtei adachot b'mayim inun. And they're not sufficient. Rutsim lachshirot shlishi mutar. So what the Gemara is discussing here is not like Rashi suggests, is how many times was it used in terms of absorption. Rashi is talking about, obviously, the first, second, third time, it's a brand new kli cheres, and then based on that, it will say how many times was it used before it's saturated. So Rashi, the first time, second time, it's not saturated, but the third time it is saturated. That's the way Rashi explains this. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, these are utensils that have been used frequently, whether it was new or old, have been used frequently with wine. The question is, how many times do you need to rinse it out in order to clean it up? Is this first rinse or scrub enough? Or do you need a second rinse? Or a third rinse? And that's what the Gemara says, Hilchasol, that the first two, you need three rinses. You don't have to do the Irui and the 24-hour thing, but you need three scrubs or rinses out to clear it out. V'davka b'koshot shocheres. This is only true of earthenware utensils. We're talking about wood, metal, or glass. You only have to rinse it out once. So this is only about a kli cheres that has more absorptive powers. Since that it has more absorptive powers, we only say you have to rinse it out three times to clear it out. But in other utensils, other materials, they only require a single rinse. Mil. So since we find many other places in the Shas, Rashi explained over here there were kli cheres, the kosot. But the Tosos and Rabbeinu Tam point out that the word kos or kase is used throughout Shas and does not always mean kli cheres. Sometimes it means other materials. If that's the case over here, that would mean the requirement to rinse three times would not only apply to kli cheres, but to other materials. And that's what the Gemara said. That's the Tosos concludes. That it's tov l'achmir. It's good to be machmir, and to any kli that you are trying to clear out or kasher in this way, you should rinse it three times and not just one time. Okay, now, Amr Zvid. Hai mani dekunya. These kelim that have a molten lead glaze on top of them. And that's what Rashi says. Kli cheres mitzupe be'ever. Rekomim pomid. And that's Rashi says. It's a molten lead glaze. The Rabbeinu Tam disagrees, and he says that kunya is hituch kli zuchuchit shenot yishbalkel kol zorchol. It's the making of a glassware. But a glassware where the sand was not heated sufficiently that the glass became totally molten and formed into glass. So it wasn't heated up sufficiently, so it has a mixture of hardened sand and glass together because the heat didn't reach the level where it was totally a liquid form. And that's what we're talking over here. So that chol, that sand, has a din like a kli cheres. Even though if it was a totally glass utensil, it wouldn't be absorbent. So even though generally glass is not absorbent, nevertheless, over here, the glass is on top of cheres. So since it's just a thin layer over the cheres, we say that it is absorbent. Now this question that we're about to deal with will have implications for glazed items or glazed utensils like china. China that has a glaze over it, does it have a din of kli cheres? Or does it have a din of the glaze? And that will have nafkaminot in both directions. If you think that the glaze does not change the status of the kli, it's kli cheres, then you will not have to take it to the mikveh to be tovel it when you buy new ones, because kli cheres does not require mikveh. On the other hand, if something, if you have something treif, a basar b'chalav or something non-kosher gets on the plate, you will not be able to kasher it because it is a kli cheres. On the other hand, if you give the status of the glazed china a status of glass, then you would have to take it to the mikveh. Brand new china would have to be taken to the mikveh because it has a din of glass. And on the other hand, if it does become problematic, there's tray, tarfut, or basar b'chalav that was on it, then you could be kashrit, because glass is not absorbent, and you can kasher the, or possibly kasher the glass, or kasher the china. This has a big nafkamina, how we view this in terms of china, and whether we view the glaze and the china to be the determining factor of what the material is, or is it because the china is klicheres underneath? That is the determining factor. The other question also comes up, the chuvos, so some of the modern chuvos talk about pyrex. Also, what's the din of pyrex? When it comes to kashering or heating or buying it. Right, so now the Gemara says, these mani dekunya, these glazed, either with molten lead or according to the Rabbeinu Tam, with glass that they have put on top, chiyurav ukma, if they're white or black, shari, then it's mutar. Yiroka, if they're green, asur. Mishom de mitzrif. The problem with the green one is that it has aluminum or alum crystals inside of it, like we saw before, the machpore shel tzrif, and they are absorbent. We said before that was kli neter ein la tara. So since it has this green, the green is an indication of this alum crystal, and therefore becomes super absorbent. V'it behu kartufani. If they have cracks in it, then kulu asuri, then it's for sure asur, because the cracks allow the absorption into the kli cheres, as opposed to the glaze that would protect it. So if there are cracks that allow the absorption into the kli cheres, not to be protected by the glaze, then that's problematic. Dorosh Rameir, Rameir says, kunya ben ukma ben chira ben yiroko shari. It's mutar across the board. It doesn't matter what color, it's the glazed is always mutar. So ma'ishnam yuchomitz v'pesach. Why is the din of Rameir here, or even the din that we spoke about before, that it's black and white are okay, green is not? Why is that din the different than the din in Pesach? Dabai minim Rameir, hani mane, these dukunya, these glazed utensils, ma'lush tushme b'pisko. Can you use them? So he says, yiroko loti b'ilach. He says, by green, the mitzarfe ubale. They're very absorbent. They come from this alum crystal or the aluminum. And therefore, they're very absorbent. There's nothing to talk about vasire. When it comes to black and white, that's your question. My. If they have cracks in them, some breaks in the glaze, nothing to talk about. The vade bale, because they are definitely absorbing vasire. You're asking when they're smooth. So when they're smooth in black and white, that's your question. My. I saw that the midaiti, the cave in the midaiti, vare bale v'asire. I see that these utensils, even though they're glazed, they seem to exude or sweat whatever's in them to the outside. You can see some of it on the outside. So if that's the case, that it's exuding on the outside, sweating on the outside, that means that the material is porous. If the material is porous, then there's blia, and it would be asur to use it. Unless it was, again, of course, properly kashered, if it's properly kashered, then maybe you could. And the problem here is that you're dealing with a kli cheres underneath. So it's a kli cheres underneath, then only if it was used by tzonein would there be a possibility of kashering. If it was used by chamin, there is no question. So now we have a problem. We have Mareimar saying here, by our case of Yai Nesech, that green, white, black, everything's mutar. By Chometz, he says green, black, and white, all asur. So why is Chametz asur? Yai Nesech mutar. So what are you going to say? My daima. So Torah al kli cheres sheinu yotze midei dufno delam. When you deal with kli cheres, it's permanently absorbent. It'll never be polite. It'll never undo what is absorbed there. So my shnami yain nesach. So why is it different? The dorsh lume mermar kule mani dukun yashar. It's all mutar. Pchi teima. So what are you going to suggest? Chametz del raita yain nesach derabonon. That the chametz is a din d'oraisa, so that's why he's machmir. The anesach is a din d'rabbanon, so he's not machmir. Va'kol d'tikun rabbanon gein d'oraita tikun. Whenever the rabbanon establish something, they make a takana, they make it like a d'oraita. They pattern it after the d'oraita. So if the chametz is the dictate d'oraita, then if they were going to be gozer by anesach, they would parallel it to chametz on Pesach. And they would make it just as asur as it was for chametz on Pesach. So that can't be the answer. Ella, what's the answer? Zetash Mishob Chamin, Zetash Mishob Sonein. We're talking about the Yain Nesach. The Yain Nesach is used in the cold form. This is what I was speaking to you about before, that all these principles of being able to kasher the Kli Cheres all derives from the fact that they're used in the cold form. And since they are used in the cold form, that allows you to use these kashering processes. Then if it's used in hot, which is the case by chametz, it's used to cook and used for hot things, then it's ein yotze midofno leolam, you can't kasher it, there's no way to get it out, it's permanently absorbed, and you can't kasher it. So it'll be a big difference whether you use it for cold or you use it for hot. Tosus does ask over here, what happens if you take the kli cheres and you take back and you refire the kli cheres? You refire it in the kivshan. Why is that not enough to kasher it? So that Rabbeinu Tam says, you know what? It does work. Even though here the Gemara seems to indicate if you used it for hot, then it's absorbent forever and you can never get it out. You have to break it. The kli cheres has no value. You can't do anything with it. Rabbeinu Tam says, yeah, that's true if you use the standard methodologies for kashering it. But if you refire it in the kiln, he says, works. Ah, why doesn't the Gemara mention that? He says, because it's not the same kli. It says, panim chadosho bolukan. When you fire in the kiln like that, it's as if it's a brand new kli. It's a brand new kli when there's nothing to talk about polate and boleyal. It's all gone. We have a brand new kli here. So Rabbeinu Tam says, yes, it does work to fire it in the kiln, but that's because, not because it gets out what's absorbed into the walls, but rather because it makes it into a brand new kli. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimshon Mishantz, he says, by kderot shel cheres, lein darkan behesek. Talking about kderot that you don't usually put on a fire, kimachzilu b'kibshan shach meimar. Right, then you could say that the firing of them works. Now then, when you're talking about like ovens, tanur v'kirayim, ovens and stoves that are used with fire, then refiring them to kill them doesn't make them into new kli. That's their usage is with firing. They always have fire in them and fire around them. So if that's the case, then you putting it into the kiln is not going to make them into a brand new kli. So that won't work to kasher. That won't help you in those cases. What will help you is when it's a kli cheres that's not usually used with the fire. In that case, if you refire the kli cheres, it's as if you brought a brand new kli, and that would be mutar to use, and would not have the problem that we suggest over here, that kli cheres that's used with chamin is permanently absorbed and permanently gives off the flavor and therefore cannot be used. But rather, this is a way to get around it by firing it up, and that will be in the kli entirely from the beginning. By doing that, obviously there's nothing balua, there's nothing absorbed in it, because he's reformed the kli. Okay, we'll stop over here.